Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NEOACAGAPASLA, SLAACRRRMM, DRAHAPA, or any of them, their A's.
Or any of the anons.
Oh my God, you guys are so retarded.
We're in a stormy, stormy day here.
It is a dark and stormy night.
In Southern California, Laguna Beach. There was hail a while ago. We didn't even know if you'd be able to hear us. We'll see what happens during the show. You may hear thunder.
You may hear the sound of everything exploding.
Thunder. If you're thunder and the sound of us screaming, that's like hearing lightning.
Yeah. If you hear lightning, put down the shrooms. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
any thunder is the sound of lightning. You see the lightning, then you hear the thunder.
Oh my God! You guys are so retarded.
Okay.
It's caused by the vacuum of air when the lightning comes up from the ground.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard.
I thought the thunder was the angels bowling.
Oh, right, I forgot about that. Or Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
So what the heck, Mr. Wizard?
I just heard somebody's sprinklers go on. It happens every time it rains, somebody's sprinkler. It's like they're water activated.
Yeah. So like you said, my name is Bruce B.
Shelley.
And Mark.
Ooh, that was a good lightning. We've got lightning. It's fall.
It is.
Here in California. Awesome. We got the crackling thunder. We've got lightning. We've got hail. We had hard pounding rain. And it reminds me of the song, "Well, it never rains in Southern California." That is the biggest bunch of bull I've ever heard.
Yeah, but this is nice.
Song should have gone, "It rarely rains in Southern California."
Mm. Yeah, probably.
It hardly ever except when it does rain in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Not so good. Yeah. Not so good. So what's up, Shell?
Nothing.
Bantering with you.
I don't have any church banter because I missed church today, so because we had other needs to attend to.
Yes, we did. We went and saw my dad in the hospital.
Yep.
And happy birthday, Bruce.
Oh, yes. You're officially 22.
I am.
He got a cake last night at 12:01.
I'm the best at being 22.
I gave him a 38-minute front on his happy birthday.
Yes, he did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
He texted me last night and said, I'm fronting you 38 minutes. I'm pretty sure you'll make it.
I'm like, you're not in front of a crack house or anything, are you?
Yeah, I should have sent back. No, I'm at the Redwood Inn. At 12:01, I'll have a drink.
Of course, today you're never sure if you're within a block of a crack house, no matter where you are. So,
I think we were like across the street from a crack house a while back because... A few years ago, I started noticing cars pull up in front of our house and park, and like one person would stay in the car, and another person would go into the building and come out like 5 minutes later.
Five minutes is crack house, 15 minutes is whorehouse.
And I started noticing that the cars were all different. Like one, like you'd have like a Mercedes Benz pull up, and then 10 minutes later, some guy in this beater Honda would pull up. You know, I mean, it was just totally different types of people, all kinds of people. And I mentioned this to Bruce, that it was very strange activity because I didn't know what that meant. And he said, well, they're dealing drugs. Yeah. And I said, they are? So I called the police and I told them, I informed them of what was going on.
And, hey, Bruce, be careful with that torch. It really fires.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Bruce.
Do I have any crinkly hair? No, on my head.
No.
Bruce, yeah, just about. Bruce just about went up.
Anyway, I called the police, and for a while we had a lot of patrols going around, and then suddenly all the people that lived in that building were no longer there.
Yeah, they all split. With the help of LA's finest, or Covina's finest, or Laguna Beach's finest, whichever.
Wherever we were.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys are so retarded.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Gonna have a little change here tonight. That's right.
Then how come I didn't get to do the doo-doo-doots? If you're doing the news, I get to do the doo-doo-doots.
Why are you doing the news?
Well, it's time for the boozy news.
Why are you doing the news?
Because he got the news and I haven't read it. Because I spent an hour and a half this morning on tech services on Fios trying to get the computer booted back up.
Oh.
The internet was down, and I couldn't do the boozy news this morning. And then we went to see his dad, so I haven't had time.
Oh,
so I did it.
So you're going to read it, and we're going to comment on it?
Yes.
Here we go.
Perfect.
So it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. That pretty darn good. She was rivaling my Foley skills there. Mm-hmm. All right, we got all kinds of goodies. Steven Tyler, frontman of Aerosmith, insisted that his fall in a hotel shower in Paraguay was not accompanied by a fall off the wagon. It's not the issue, said Tyler during a call into Matt Lauer yesterday morning on Today from Buenos Aires. People think that it's natural and normal, but it still bothers me. A few months ago has been tripping on his 12 steps. Now apparently tripped in the shower. Shelley, you saw the picture.
Yes, I'm sorry, but most normal people don't look like that when they fall in the shower. I've fallen in the shower, and I didn't look like that.
He looked like 12 guys beat the crap out of him. Missing tooth, huge bruise on the side of his face.
What happened was he got loaded, slipped in the shower, tried to get up, slipped again, fell in. I mean, he probably fell like 3 or 4 times and hit him.
And you know this?
Well, because you had to see his face. He had, like, it wasn't just a bruise in one place. It was like he was missing a tooth. His nose was jacked up. His eye was jacked up. He had a bruise on the other side of his face. I mean, you don't fall on one place and get messed up in that many places.
I don't know. I disagree. I think if you fell in the shower, I think it's possible to do that. Because, now, the interesting thing is, he says, short of having my leg torn off, people are going to expect me to hit the stage no matter what. Who managed to rock out on the harmonica during the concert despite having a new tooth and a busted lip. I pulled myself up my boot heels and went out on stage, wore my sunglasses for the first song, and I took them off and the crowd roared because they knew I had fallen down. Not only did I break my face, but the next night we broke all the house records.
Wow.
Yeah.
He says he's still sober. He's still sober.
It's between him and sponsoring God.
Yeah, that's right.
True. That's very true. But, you know, the whole playing the harmonica with a busted lip really isn't much of a stretch for him because he's got enough lips to go around.
Wow.
Here's one for Mark. You familiar with Joe Madden? Baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. Manager. Joe Madden calls the potential Major League beer ban asinine. He says, people who attend the games have a much greater chance of becoming drunk by the time they leave than a baseball player does. Most of the time, if you have a beer after the game, it's one or two, and maybe that's it. Apparently, they want to outlaw beer in the clubhouses after games.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Oh, you said beer ban. I thought you said beer band.
Yeah, they have a new beer band called Asinine.
That's what I thought he said.
It is. I mean, the idea... Yeah,
they're opening for ZZ Top next Thursday.
You know what's really great? is the guy Joe Madden, you know what his nickname is? Merlot Joe.
You know, they're getting a little too... I mean, stop trying to police us, please. You know, they want to ban beer from the clubhouse. They wanted to ban chewing tobacco during the World Series because more people are watching... It's like
what?
It's like just go away.
He says. He goes. This is something I am not going to do. I'm not policing my players about drinking in the clubhouse. I'm a manager, not a babysitter. Yeah. These guys aren't babies. They're old enough to understand. They're all grown ups. And why would I attempt to regulate their behavior?
This is the major leagues, not the Cuban leagues. We are not.
It's the Little League. Yeah. The Little League clubhouse.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So they wanted to ban chewing tobacco because it looked bad?
Yeah.
But that's like... Okay, there are two sports in America. If you ban chewing tobacco, that's totally un-American. And that's baseball and NASCAR.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
We don't want you to.
You can try.
We don't want you to.
That's ridiculous.
Even Roseanne Barr spit tobacco. Didn't she?
Just
when she sang
spits
the...
period. Yes.
When she sang... Yeah, I don't know.
Grabbed her crotch and all kinds of fun stuff. That I totally disagreed with, but that's just
update.
Me.
The gal that won the Trump casino thing, $25,000 worth of plastic surgery, has decided she won't go under the knife.
Really?
So the Trump Taj Mahal Casino Resort gave the winner of its Nip and Tuck sweepstakes the option to take the prize in cash, and that's exactly what she did. The woman opted not to name her name public. The attention-grabbing contest gave the winner the opportunity to mix and match various types of surgery, including breast enhancements, tummy tucks, liposuction, and facelifts, until the total hit $25,000. She turned it all down.
That a girl.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Au natural.
I'm a little bit irritated at the people next door right now.
Why?
They should not have a flag out in this kind of a storm. When it started raining the other day, they should have taken it in.
Yeah.
It's totally
They also don't have a light on it in this dark.
And they've let it whack up against the side of the house so much it's got holes in it.
Wow. Update.
Another update?
Part due. Do you remember months ago the story of the guys in Arizona, the Border Patrol agents, seeing guys using catapults throwing soap over?
Oh, yes.
And the guys on our side were just like basically standing there catching it as it came across.
Yeah.
Hermosillo, Mexico. The Mexican army says soldiers have seized two catapults that were being used by drug smugglers to fling packages across the border into Arizona. Military statement Tuesday said an anonymous tip led troops to a house in the border border city of Agua Prieta, where they found a catapult in the bed of a pickup truck and another one inside the house. They also seized 1.4 tons during Monday's raid. Mexican troop also seized two catapults in the area in January, and they say these are the first times they've seen the smuggling method. Apparently, they didn't listen to our show.
No, they didn't.
Where we would have told them months ago that this was happening.
But I would like to point out, I saw another story that said that illegal immigration is down 43% in Arizona since the law passed.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I did not choose to put that as part of the boozy news, but that I saw that same thing. You know what I kind of wonder, though? I have to wonder, how do you know?
That's true. How do
you know? Supposedly, you're not catching, unless they're just catching fewer people at the border. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. I think that's how they judge that.
Oh. I know what they're doing.
What are they doing?
Immigration's not down. Illegal immigration's not down. What
Our
they're doing
of
is
catching
they're
catching them is worse.
No, they're catapulting people over the border. That's how they're doing.
And you know what's even better? We're catapulting them back.
Wow.
Will that be fun?
Get in the bucket.
Yeah. I mean, how can you tell that less people are coming, or you're just doing a crappier job of catching them?
Yeah.
They're doing better at coming across.
Catapulting illegal aliens is like midget bowling.
Okay, this.
Oh, Mark.
This is a good one. $1 million mistake in a German museum. File this one under O for oops. A cleaner with the best intentions accidentally destroyed a piece of art worth more than $1 million when she removed what she thought was a stain. Spoiler alert, it wasn't a stain. The piece of art is entitled When It Starts Dripping from the Ceilings, and it features a series of wooden planks and a formerly discolored plastic bowl. The artist, the late Martin Clippinger, intended for viewers to understand that the bowl had been discolored by water running over the pieces of wood. Unfortunately, the bowl is no longer discolored because apparently she did a great job of cleaning it. The cleaner was apparently unaware she was supposed to stay at least 20 centimeters away from the work of art. The original artist died in 1997, left behind a large collection of work. This particular one is worth $1 million. So far, there's no word on whether the cleaning woman was in any legal or financial trouble. The piece of art was on loan to the museum from a private collector.
Oh,
who will probably think twice before lending out any other million-dollar pieces of art.
This person used to work for my old housekeeper.
Yeah.
I had gotten a Laker jersey about 9-10 years ago, signed by Shaquille O'Neal.
She thought there was a pen on it.
She threw it in the laundry and washed it.
She said, "I worked really hard to get that pen stain out of there."
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
According to the AP, insurance adjusters are currently assessing the damage. It'll be up to the owner to decide whether to improve an effort to restore the piece or something resembling originals, or just leave it as it is. Okay.
Restore it.
Lexington, Tennessee. gay high school student 16 suspended by the principal for wearing makeup in class. An openly gay 16-year-old student was given a three-day suspension for wearing makeup in class. He was censured by the principal after being told it violated the school's dress code.
How?
The guy walked in, immediately started yelling at me and told me to go outside. He said he did exactly what the principal suggested without replying, but that another student who witnessed the incident and stuck up for Casey was also issued a one-day suspension for speaking out. Now, here's the interesting thing. He's gone to school before in three different colors of hair, and the teachers did not deem that a disruption. The 11th grader also said that other punk rock students are wearing makeup the same day were not reported at all. So apparently, he was like, if they can wear makeup, so can I. The suspension caught the attention of the Tennessee Equality Project, and the suspension was reversed. And a new school policy allowing all students to wear makeup was put in place.
After further review, the call has been reversed?
Yeah. That's right.
That's really stupid. When I was in high school, I knew girls who borrowed their boyfriend's eyeliners because it was, you know, the hairband era.
Of course, you know, in Tennessee, you know, like the NFL, when there's a review, the guy goes under the hood. That means something totally different in Tennessee.
Yes. Oh, wow. wasn't going there, but I got it now. Woo! Idiots.
I don't get it, but I'm not sure I want to.
Five charged in Virginia Halloween candy theft.
Your local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan.
Dale City, Virginia. Police in Virginia say five teenagers have been charged with beating two youngsters who wouldn't hand over their Halloween candy. Prince William County police report one robber implied he had a handgun when the group confronted a pair of trick-or-treaters. That one robber implied he had a handgun. Four of the teenagers are juveniles aged 16, 17. Their names have not been released. The fifth alleged robber, 19-year-old Andre Diggs, is being held without bond.
Good.
Dude, 19 years old, armed, trying to take candy from kids on Halloween. Didn't anyone tell this guy he could just go to the door and say trick-or-treat?
And they'd give him candy?
Yeah.
Not only that, he could have gone to the door as a robber.
It showed his gun.
Yeah.
Can I have the money, too?
Yeah. No, just give me all the candy. It would have been really funny. People would have laughed and given him a bunch of candy.
The suspects have been charged with robbery and assault by a mob. You ever heard of that one?
Wow.
Assault by a mob.
Where two or more are gathered.
I don't know. When I was a kid, my mom and dad would get our candy together in a big pile, and they would go through and pick out all the poison candy. Oh, you can't eat that. That's poison. Oh, look at this. No, that's definitely poison. And when I was like 11 and I was old enough to kind of see over the edge of the top of the fridge, I found a bowl up there full of my poison candy.
Yeah.
And that was when I, you know,
my kids never got Mars bars.
Yeah, and that was when I realized what
you
she
can't
was
have
doing.
Those. Those aren't good. Those might be in trouble. I thought I saw a pinhole in the bag.
I thought for years our neighbors were trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Hillsboro, Oregon.
Are you familiar with this area?
Yes, I am.
I had a feeling by the look on your face.
Mom picks up kids from school drunk. Police arrested a 47-year-old woman Friday after she drove to an elementary school drunk to pick up the children. Three times the legal limit. She pulled into the parking lot, picked up the three children, one of whom was her son.
What is the legal limit for picking your kids up from school?
Zero. Zero.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
They were able to stop her car. She had a blood alcohol level over three times the legal limit. She was arrested. $15,000 bail. Arrested of DUI and recklessly endangering the lives of the children, but the children were not injured. Now, this is one of these good ones. This is one where the story starts out good, and then there's the twist.
That just makes it better.
Makes it better.
Or sicker.
A hunter died in a hunting accident. This is in Duluth, Minnesota. 84-year-old hunter. He was pronounced dead at the scene. The accident occurred in Lavelle Township, southeast of Hibbing, it was reported. According to the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office, Mr. Nafla, I think that's Joseph Nafla, was attempting to light a propane heater in his partially enclosed deer stand in the trees when his clothes caught fire. And then he fell from the deer stand. So He wasn't shot or killed in that way. He died as a flaming ball of fire falling out of the deer's entry. And I'm sorry for his family.
Yes, that's terrible.
Bambi was standing in the distance laughing his ass off.
I can just see the deer out there going, whoa, what's that one?
Yeah, the guy's like, but, that bastard shot my buddy. Yeah.
Bunch of deer out there going, we got him.
No, no kidding.
Let's go. Bunch of deer posing next to him.
All right, yeah, we'll end this thing with the hero of the week. Man rescues Dartmouth woman from burning house. A 19-year-old Dartmouth woman is recovering in a hospital after a complete stranger rescued her from a burning house. Her family's home was destroyed by fire early Friday evening. Jeff Wakeman, 21, said he was driving home with his cousin. They took a wrong turn. We ended up driving down Valley Field Road, and the mother was in the street hollering, there's a fire, so my cousin stopped. And they were screaming their daughter was inside. The next thing I knew, I was kicking in the door and crawling through a smoke-filled living room. I could see an orange glow coming from the kitchen. Well, I think it was the kitchen. And then I could hear a cough in the corner. I started crawling in that direction. I remember throwing furniture and tables and stuff out of the way. And I felt an arm or something, so I pulled it out as quickly as I could. Young woman was rushed to the hospital, and the family says that she's going to be okay. It was a real relief when I heard that. Her lungs are, I guess, a little scorched. And they have her unconscious, but from what I hear, she's going to make it. The woman's parents were the only people in the home, and they both made it out safely. But this guy took a wrong turn.
Ended up in the right place.
Ended up in the right place.
God puts you where you're supposed to be.
I got to ask the question, though. Daughter's in the house. Parents are outside. Parents are sending someone else in. Why weren't the...
Well, wait, how old was the daughter and how old were the parents?
Well, daughter was 19. So the parents probably not that old, because my daughter's 17, and I had my daughter a little late compared to a lot of people. I mean, if you were if you were 30 when you had a daughter, you know, you'd be 49.
That's true. Parents outside, daughter inside.
Because I'll tell
you
what.
How does that happen?
Mark's older than I am, and I'm turning 50 in a couple days, and I can bet you if there was people in my house, I'd be running back in there.
Unless you were pissed at him at the time.
So maybe we've got the idiots of the week and the hero of the week in the same story. Yeah.
Did you hear how the fire started the house?
No.
A deer caught on fire.
A guy fell out of
a deer stand.
Right onto the roof. And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news. That one was lame.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither rain nor snow nor gloom of night keep us from our Cuban cigars.
And let me tell you, we've got rain and gloom of everything tonight for sure.
Do you know what it actually says on the plaque?
What?
Neither rain nor snow nor glom of knit.
Nor glom of knit?
Yes, because they didn't spell very well back then.
Glom of knit.
Glom of knit.
It sounds like something from Scotland.
It does, doesn't it?
Like instead of Lake Lomond, it's Loch.
Loch
Lomond. There's a Scottish phrase. How you macanoot? Which clearly is how are you making out.
Right.
But they turn it into one word. It's like used to could. You know, how you macanoot, lad? Really? How about hi?
Howdy.
How are you? Shelly has a topic.
She does. She's been waiting on this all day long.
She can't wait.
What's your topic, Shelly?
Fire up on this. She can't remember what it is, but she can't wait.
Got it. I remember what I remembered. Impending doom.
Now, I want to point out to the listening audience, can you even believe that Shelly would come up with a topic like impending doom? I know that's a reach. It's a stretch.
I am the voice of her doom.
And yet she did. So how would you like to attack it?
What is doomy and gloomy?
Well, my thought was, you know, people...
She was thinking.
I was thinking. You get into situations in life where something bad could be on the horizon. And it's not one of those things like you cough a little and instantly think you have lung cancer. It's more like there is something bad that is going to happen.
Something's happening already.
Yes, already. And you can kind of see that there might be a catastrophe coming down the road, and there may or may not be anything you can do about it. Or you're working your butt off to prevent it and nothing seems to be stopping it, or, you know, just that kind of thing. How do you deal with, you know, not borrowing trouble, not getting into the results, not worrying too much? I mean, because these things are worrisome. It's hard not when, you know, like your dad, when you've got somebody in the hospital and he's not extremely young and you're worried. How do you stop from constantly worrying?
That's a good point, because there's other ways we can do it first, but to look at it from like the medical side. My dad has, you know, what I've been able to do with my dad, or I try to do with my dad, is say, you know, first give it to God, because that always helps, you know, because I am completely powerless over what happens. He's in a great hospital. He's got, you know, top of the line medical care.
Yep.
They're going to be able to do whatever it is that can be done. It's not like if you said, if I put him in a different hospital, the treatment would be that much better or anything. I mean, he's in a great place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for me, basically, the way to do it is to let it go and try and be available. And really, that's it. I mean, for me, you know, letting it go, that's been the one thing that's, you know, in this case, it's not like I've got an impending court case where maybe I could do a bunch of footwork that would help me out. I can't really do a lot of footwork to make the medical treatment better. There's really nothing I can do in that case. So, for me, letting go has been
helpful. But you were also the person that said today, when I put him on the prayer chain at church, and you said something that affected, well, how does that affect anything?
No. What I meant to say by that was, the one thing that's frustrating with medical things is, they always put people on prayer chains for church. Always. And eventually, we all die. You know what I mean? I mean, eventually, we all die. And I think the point you brought up that was good about that is, you know, the thing is, we put you on a prayer chain, and oftentimes conditions get worse and worse and worse until someone eventually passes away. But I think the part that you brought up is the prayer chain isn't as much even for the person as it is for me, knowing they're on the prayer chain. And I think that's the way I have to go with that. What do you think, Mark?
About what?
About impending doom.
We've been over here talking to ourselves.
We have.
See, Sarah's not here, so Mark doesn't have anybody to talk to.
Mark's not.
Yeah,
Mark's
Sarah
not
and I usually carry on a conversation while you guys are going back and forth, but I think that we sit here and we hold our microphones in hand and we talk about all the things that we can do. And most of the time what we do is first is panic.
And then you
panic. In all reality, you know.
I panicked this morning a little bit.
Yeah. That's the first thing we really do. You know, we don't sit there and go, this is about to happen. Oh, God, will you please watch over? We go, shit!
Yeah, I didn't do that until I was actually driving on the way over there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what we, you know, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes it's a train.
Yeah.
You know, and you just hope you get out of the way.
Well, my mom called this morning, and my mom says...
To me.
To Shelly. What'd she tell you, Shelly, when she called?
She called, and she said, well, I understand Bruce is coming out to the hospital. I said, okay. And she sounded a little bit...
Not frantic,
but like she sounded really stressed, and it takes a lot for mom to sound really stressed.
Yes.
And she said, well, you know, Dad's having his blood pressure problem. And she was detailing the problem to me and everything. And they're not letting him go out of the hospital. He's been there for 12 days. And she's exhausted. But it sounded sort of like impending doom. Like, we needed to get there right away.
Yeah, when I talked to her on the phone, she says, can you come out now? And I said, yes.
Yes.
And I said, do you want me to bring Shelly? Yes. You want me to bring Courtney? Yes. Okay,
yeah.
Let me find them. We'll come out. And I asked her, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, Mom, how worried are you right now? And she said, well, I'm worried at 10. But see, my mom comes from a medical background. I said, if you looked at this from a medical perspective, how worried are you? And she said an 8. And for my mom to be worried at an 8,
mm-hmm.
that's a pretty high level.
Yeah, I remember when they thought I had cervical cancer and I was telling her about it and I was crying and she said, oh, that's no big deal. They'll get you over it.
Ah.
And I was like, what?
Well, you know, it's the experience of people that hang around with medical people all the time. I remember it was like our good friend Lee. I don't know what he had going on with him. And his mom's like, yeah, take some antibiotics. He's like, I've got walking pneumonia. She's like, yeah, take some antibiotics.
Yep.
And she's like, don't worry about it. She goes, it's not like you're 75 years old with walking pneumonia. You know, you're in good health. You're 30 years old. They're at 43 years old. And you're, oh. You know.
How good a health any of us are in with our histories? I'm not really sure. You know,
it's a thing that worries me.
Well,
you know, my dad is significantly older than I am, you know, of course. And he's a diabetic and I'm a diabetic. Mm-hmm. I got diabetes when I was 12 and he got it when he was in his late 30s. So by the time mm-hmm. I get to his age, I will have had diabetes for like 20 extra years. And I always wonder, you know, my brother unfortunately passed away almost exactly a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in his 50s, my grandfather passed away in his 50s. You know, my dad is in completely uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mark's right. You know, I mean, the thing for me is, you know, I panic. And then we do whatever we can do that's right in front of us.
Well, you know, those of us who stuck around this program got the first step. And we realize how powerless we are over things. But that's not usually the first reaction in all reality.
Right. Even yeah. for old timers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, because welcome to the human race. I mean, that's, you know.
I vacillate. Right now I'm in a stage where I'm vacillating, like something will happen. I mean, okay, I'll give you a work example. I have a huge project. I have 2 full carts and my desk is completely covered with books. And this is on the heels of the last big project that I did get done on time, but I need to have this stuff done because the next big project is already being started.
Right.
And I have this feeling of impending doom. And when I'm at work, I'm like, work faster, work faster. But then I think, and I get this feeling that Mark said, you know, we panic. And then I instantly go to, don't panic. It'll be all right. Even if you can't get everything done, everything's going to be okay. There are no big deal. And all the program speak starts in my head. And then 10 minutes later, I have a little panic attack again. And then I go back to, and it's like back and forth and back and forth. So all day, I'm sort of schizophrenic all day long. I'll be panicking 1 minute and I'll be completely fine the next.
Well, and then again, too, that's one of those situations where you look at it yourself and you're like, what kind of footwork can I do that changes this? It's like people that are waiting for a court date. And it's like, this, they got a heavy court date. And it's like, what can I and my lawyer do before this court date, you know, that is, you know, it's not, you know, not our manageability, but it's something that we do have some control over. Because, like, if I do nothing, I'm going to mm-hmm. go to court. If you do nothing at work, nothing gets done. And now your impending doom happens because you don't do anything.
But, you know, I look at that and I, once again, there's things in this program that we've learned over the years. Like, Bruce, when's the last time you had a impending court date?
Me?
Yeah.
A ticket.
Yeah, I had a ticket one
okay,
time.
Impending doom.
Yeah, no.
Where you need to meet with your attorney to figure out what to
and
do.
And actually, you know what? I got to be honest with you. The last time I had that was actually, oh my goodness, God is calling. And it's God who knows we're recording and he's supposed to send me a text. The thing that makes it strange for me is I guess when I was a when I was getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a court date that was going to have some impending doom to it.
Mm-hmm.
Was definitely going to. But other than that, I mean, I didn't have anything legal. I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't going to jail or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there certainly was impending doom in it. I mean, I was, you know, fighting for, you know, my daughter and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was not going to be good. But
was it just me, or does every guy who's been through a divorce with children have this thought in the back of their head just for a fleeting moment that maybe OJ did it right?
No, I had that thought way before that.
Okay.
I had that thought way before that.
Joyce Brothers would agree with you, or maybe it was Abigail Van Buren. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked her when they were interviewing, you know, she was Dear Abby, so that was Abigail Van Buren, mm-hmm. and she said she was married for umpteen years, and they said, you know, you counseled a lot of women on their marital difficulties and everything. Did you ever think about getting a divorce when you had problems? Because sometimes you've told women that they should probably get a divorce, and she said, divorce? Never. Murder? Constantly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Shelley, what would your final words on impending doom be? How to fight it off?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, you know me. I'm a warrior by nature. And I like to plan ahead. And you can't plan ahead sometimes. And sometimes you see the train coming and you can't get out of the way and there's nothing you can do. I guess the only thing you can do is just trust that God will take you through it.
Mark.
Two things. One is, don't put yourself on the train tracks.
That's footwork.
And number two, less panic, more program.
Ooh. Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes all you can walk on are the train tracks.
You're on a trestle.
Ask yourself why.
You know what? I have to go along with what both of these guys have said, because for me, the thing is, you know, if there's work that can be done, for sure, do it. If there's not, you have to accept that you're powerless over it, and you have to let God take care of it for you. Shelley!
What?
Who are our friends
anywhere
in Florida?
That would be in the rooms.com.
.com.
They run an online recovery community. You can go and put up a profile, meet some people in the A of your choice, go to online chats and meetings. Sorry, where was I? Oh, you can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to the show on our embedded player while you surf the site, and it's all free.
Sweet. Mark.
Yes.
How about our friend back east?
Our friend. Our friend. That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
In the city of bromance.
Yes.
Pillowfilthia.
Pillowfilthia. That just Pillowfilthia. It sounds wrong, especially after saying bromance.
It's Bruce, not Caligula.
Well, you know.
Anyway, he's got the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can go up and you can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you, or you can get the subscription prescription and have it sent to you via the United States Postal Service. If you're interested in franchises, contact Bruce and he will give you everything you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Awesome. We've got the email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com and recovery_101@hotmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn
seriously.
Yay. Oh my God, you guys are so retarded.
Shelley?
What?
On this dark and dreary, gloomy night where the temperature in the studio has dropped about 10 degrees.
Ooh,
in like
it's
the
a little
last
chilly.
5 minutes. Who's our lead out music by?
8 Days Clean.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
lonesome highway till his pain's gone. Then he'll pick up his favorite bottle. He's gonna filter to his favorite spoon. He's gonna have a private conversation with God real soon.
They're gonna have a private conversation with Jesus.